Welcome to the Pilot Podcast. This week, we have a very special episode. Today, we're joined by Canadian actor, singer, and woman behind the standout role of Kale on Hulu's Jan. Welcome, Elena Huatko.
Yay!
We're so happy and excited to chat with you today. Would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'm Elena Huatko. You did a great job. I play Kale on Jan, which is streaming on Hulu in America, and up in Canada, we're streaming on Crave. And thanks so much for having me. I'm in Calgary, and we're filming season 3 right now. So this is the kind of a perfect time to kind of chat about what's been going on and what's to look forward to. So I'm glad we could do this.
Oh, good. Let's get into it. So we want to talk about Kale, character that stood out to both of us.
Thank you so much. I'm not gonna lie. Before when you reached out, I was like, I should listen to the podcast and make sure they like the show before I sign on. And I thank you so much that, you know, I'm so thrilled you both love the pilot and the character as much as I do.
We really did. And BJ especially always loves like a badass character who holds all the keys. And
right?
Kale is like one of those characters. And so you're this like quintessential millennial and you're fun and you're funny, but Kale is also someone you don't want to mess with. And so what was your experience playing Kale? Where did you draw inspiration for that portrayal?
Kale is definitely like a dream role to play. Like, I agree with you, BJ. Like, I love playing, like you said, the character who holds all of the keys. Like, she's fearless. She always says what's on her mind. She doesn't censor, so she doesn't care what people think about her. She's the dream character. And playing her has been a dream role, especially with this project, getting to work with Jan Arden. And I know like some Americans don't know Jan Arden, but to put it into context, she is a Canadian. She's an icon. So she was like a songwriter, singer-songwriter that, you know, was at the same time as, you know, Sarah McLachlan, like Lilith Fair, like that kind of era. She wrote the songs of that was like the soundtrack of all of our failed loves and love lives, you know? So getting to work with her was a big deal. So when this show came out and I saw the sides to read with her, like my whole body just had that tingling sensation that like, I know this character, I love this character, and this is the dream show to get on. So it's been an absolute thrill. And I'm so happy people love the character as well. I haven't received a single like mean tweet or anything. I was expecting some hate. I was like, okay, like be prepared. There'll probably be people being like, oh, this character, you play a bitch. Or no one says that. They just really like love her and they welcome that female energy, you know? So it's kind of like a lesson that, you know, we don't need to censor ourselves or like be afraid to go after things and know what we need to succeed. That people love that. People love that about women. Like I love that factor of it as well.
We all want to be Kale.
Yes, that's true. I need a Kale managing my day-to-day. Like,
right?
Explicitly.
I know. We were talking about that on set, actually. Like, one of the actresses was like, I need a Kale. I wish I had a Kale as a manager. And my manager can have some Kale moments as well. So yeah, she's in LA, but she was like raised in New York. And so she's like very like, Elena, come on. Like, what are you, Filipino something? What are you Korean? They're looking for Koreans. I told them you're Korean.
Oh,
just go
gosh.
In for the role. You're going to be great. Okay. just say that your mother was Korean. Like she's hilarious. She just knows. And I'm like, okay. So, yeah, those managers, right?
And we see Kale, as you said, wanting to learn and grow. And she actually turns to Todd for advice on how to connect with Jan on that human level. And we see that pay off a bit where Jan is in this sort of ridiculous candy cane or candy world music video. And Kale explains to her why it's helpful for her to film the video. And there's a little bit of that aha moment. How was it portraying that character development for her where she gets all these things done, but she is also learning to stop and have these human moments with Jan where she brings her along with her because not everyone can keep up with Kale.
Yeah. There's not a lot of moments where you kind of like get to see that part of her. And like for Kale, like I feel like it's all about the end game. Like talking to Jan is like, how do I get this woman to listen to me? How do I get her to do what I need her to do? And she just keeps hitting this wall. So I love that scene with Jason, with who plays Todd, that she realizes that she needs his help to get what she wants, that she just can't do it on her own. And that whole scene with Jan, like she doesn't know how to do it. She doesn't know how to relate. She's trying her best. And then Jan understands and does it. And you see her, like the writers are so great. You see her kind of open up. You see Todd come along and she turns to Todd and she smiles. Like, you know, she's like, oh, Todd, like, you know, thank you so much. Like that's so, you know, like really thanks so much. And then of course he just like drops the bomb and says, you know what, Jan has been meeting with me behind your back. And then suddenly Kale goes shoop, and she just like closes right back up and that resting bitch face comes back. And so it's this thing like I'm wondering like what is it going to take to finally like crack this woman open? Because you get these little glimmers of like, you know, who she is and what could open her up and like where does this come from? Where does this shell come from? And the writers are so good at developing that and because, you know, we've got lots more seasons to go, right? We've got a long ways to go with Kale. So it's just one of the joys of playing with her.
How do you hold that straight face when these things are happening? Because when you talked about going back into that resting bitch face, as you put it, I understood it when I watched the show, but now that I think about it, you were looking at someone in a green screen suit on a treadmill pretending to chase candy. And I just, and when I think about it now, like you as the person, Elena, in the room, yeah. How did you just like not lose it?
It's weird. When I play Kale, there like something comes over me. I'm just like, it's like because she has a laser focus, I guess as the actor, I just kind of get out of the way. And just let the laser focus just come through. And I just, I guess it's a channeling thing that she's so focused like that. I mean, of course, there are times where I break. And it usually happens when Jan ad-libs. When she starts going off script and then just starts going on and she won't stop. If you let her ad lib, she'll go for like 20 and she will not stop. And the director will never call cut ever. And like at those moments where I'm just like, oh my God, she's still going. This is not ending. And then I'll break. But yeah, those are the times I break. Thankfully, I've never ruined a take. I think that's like my nightmare. I would hate to ruin a take because I work with such incredible actors and they're doing such like, if, especially when it's on them, like, I would hate to ruin their take. So yeah, I don't know where it comes from. God.
Well, I hope that you internalize that you're doing so well on that show too. And that you're not just working with great actors. You are one.
Thank you. Thank you.
And with Jan now airing internationally or on Hulu, how is it interacting with a more global audience on social media?
It's, you know, it's been really great to see the feedback that everyone, like, that you two love it, that the media loves it, that it's the same reception that we're getting in Canada, the kind of love for it. And you know, it's, I don't think you need to know who Jan Arden is in that context for the comedy to work. It's just to have more people see what we do. That's been the joy, and to have people receive it so well. I have noticed a slight difference though on the social media. Like we just announced, this is a couple of weeks ago, we just announced they released the press release that we're starting production for season 3. And suddenly it was like hate tweet, like stupid show. What a stupid show. Like hard pass, like dumb show. We'll never watch this show. And we were all on set. I was with the other actors. I was like, who are these people? I was like, you guys, we're getting famous. Like yeah. We're getting the hate tweets. These like random trolls are now trolling our show. We must be getting famous. This is a good sign. So that's, if any difference I've noticed, it's been that. So you just laugh it off. But yeah, the reception and the more people are watching it. This is what we were always hoping for from the beginning.
Even since we've been watching, we've seen the rise in social media. And like you said, when you get a hater, that's a milestone. Me too. And I remember our first negative review and we were like, someone cares enough to say that they don't like us. That's That means a lot.
Someone listened long enough to dislike. Yes. I think it was the tone of my voice and I think BJ's word choice or something. And we were like, we did it!
We did it! We did it! Did you retweet it? Like, this is it. That's the fact that like, you listened to the whole thing. And that, like, that's very specific. Mm-hmm. They definitely listen. They're probably still listening. Hi, thanks for listening.
Hey, boo.
We appreciate you.
Thanks for Power Podcast. Thank you. We love you.
So Jan is all about Jan and her music career. And we've learned that you also have a passion for music, that you sing, you play the piano, you also play the guitar. How long has music been a part of your life?
Oh, since I was like young. Like Filipino gatherings with the karaoke machine. Like that's how I started, just singing on the karaoke machine. And then in school, like I did every single, I say this to every kid that loves this as an industry or wants to get into it or just loves, has a passion for it. Like do every choir, I did every choir, every musical, every play, like whatever you could put me in, I was always doing it. So for always, always. And of course I listened to Jan Arden music when I was growing up too. Like, yeah.
So it sounds like auditioning for Canadian Idol was the logical next step.
Yeah, it was, you know, at the time when I auditioned, I was 18 years old. I was a first year of university and I was studying biology. And which is super weird because I knew that was never my passion. I was very academic. I got that good gene from my mom. I was good at the sciences, but I didn't have a passion for it. And then when the auditions came out, it was just kind of like a whim. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try out. And if they say I suck and like I become one of those joke auditions, then I'll know this was just never meant to be. And I can just kind of put this like what I thought was a silly dream aside. And then I just kept going like further and further and further. And then people started liked me and voted for me. And then when it was done, I was like, you know what? Like that was like my leap of faith. Like, you know, I think it's where I kind of found my voice. Like I have a voice and people are listening and people care, you know, what I'm going to do next and what I'm going to perform again. And so that's when I changed my major and I graduated in drama and women's studies and I've been performing ever since.
It hurts a little because I studied biology.
Oh, did you? Are you a biology major?
I've studied biophysics and
oh, you're a smarty
went
pants.
All the way to grad school. So I do really like science.
Oh, yeah, BJ's a doctor.
Oh, you're a doctor.
Well, not a medical doctor, a PhD doctor, but
still
a doctor.
Mm-hmm. That is a doctor. You're my mother's dream child, honey. Like, yeah. It's you know what it was for me doing biology? I don't know where you studied or did you have to do this fruit fly lab?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
With like the genes and
I can't. Oh. You got through it? I could not do it. You'd like bring the fruit flies home with you because you had to harvest them. They'd be in your hair.
You had to grow them. Yeah.
Oh my! And you had to like make all the charts. Like that was for me. That fruit fly lab that is like lighting your face up right now. That was the turning point for me to be like, I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. But like, that's so wonderful. That's like that lights you up. Like, isn't that amazing?
Yeah, I'm glad you learned that early because there's a lot more of that if you continue down that path.
Oh, yeah. I was like, this is not the first and only lab I'm ever going to do doing this. This is just the baby one that I'm struggling enough with.
But you weren't struggling. You know, you found what worked for you. And you released a debut album, Beyond This Line, in 2015. Me Too and I were listening to it last week. I really like your song, Away.
Thank you.
Can you tell us, like, what led to that album?
I've always wanted to release an album, especially after Canadian Idol. I was like the only person that didn't release one. I just didn't know. I was so young and I didn't know what I wanted to say. I didn't know what kind of music I wanted to do. Like it was different. Like, you know, on American Idol has such a big reach that I find that a lot of those finalists suddenly got, you know, roles on Broadway and all of them got record deals. Like nobody called my phone. I went back to university and I figured it out and hustled on my own. It's a different star system, I think, America and Canada. And I was on a TV series called Open Heart. It was a Nickelodeon in the States. And I was like, you know what? I kind of now have a platform. I'm just going to do it. And it was one of those things where my friend had just bought a studio, his friend's equipment, and had a studio in a spare apartment, in a spare bedroom of his apartment downtown in Toronto. And I was like, you know what? Let's write together. Like, let's make something. And so I got like a tiny grant from a Canadian Arts Council. And I used that was enough money to like, it was just a small one. And he's like, I'll do it. And he recorded it. And it was all songs I wrote in the 10 years since finishing Idol. And it was like the scariest thing I ever done. I didn't know what I was doing. I don't know if I was a good songwriter. And I just went for it. And it was really just me. It was very simple. Me and a piano, me and a guitar, acoustic, all of those, except for one song, they were all done in one take. I wanted to leave all the imperfections in and kind of like tell the story instead of trying to break it all apart. I did it like all in one take, and it was in this, downtown Toronto in a spare bedroom. And I did it, and I released it on International Women's Day. And I, because I just love that day. It's coming up soon. And and that was like 6 years ago. It's like been 6 years, and it was a labor of love. And I'm that's probably one of the proudest things I've done has been just finishing it and having it and being like, here it is. And it's mine. It's all my music.
That's amazing hearing how you were just put that together truly with passion and just taking that chance. And it makes us wonder, will you take a chance on future releases? Will we hear you sing on Jan?
I've been thinking about that, actually. I mean, it's like 6 years is a long time. And I feel like I've grown so much from that last album that I feel like my sound is different and my kind of music that I like to write is different. So I've been thinking about that. Releasing, I don't know if it'll be a single or something else like that. As for the show, like I can't say, my mouth is shut in terms of or else I'm going to get fired. I cannot say what is going to happen. But I love that people ask me that question. It's probably like the most popular question I get asked in interviews is, will you sing on the show? So I'm thrilled that people like care and want to hear more from me. And like I've always said, I mean, it would be an absolute dream to get to sing on the show. And I have full faith in the writers that they would have it happen at the right time, at the right moment. So thank you for asking me that question.
Okay, we're waiting for that right moment. Yeah.
We'll wait for that right moment.
We are very much respecting these answers. Right moment, right time. Right. Trust the process.
Right? Are these your mantras?
I love that. And we will take that as no more specifics. We promise we won't be the reason that you get in trouble with the show. But switching gears to Open Heart, which you mentioned. We read a fun story about how your mom said that she always wanted you to be a doctor and she was excited that you were able to play one on the series. Was that role special to you and your family? Did you get to speak about like science and medicine and connect on that level?
BJ's lighting up again.
Yeah. This is so sweet to see.
Is it? And it's so, when I got the role, like that was my first series regular role on a TV show. And my mom sent out the email to the family members when it was official. And my brother was like, sis, mom is telling everyone you're a doctor. Like she is so excited. And it was great because I would call her. I'd call her and be like, how do you pronounce this term? Like, what is this surgery? Like, da, 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 da. I mean, we get into discussions about it. And she'd go into stories. And you know what she said to me? She said, you know, Alina, I think the thing that was so tough for me when you wanted to do this as a career was that I never got to share with you this part of my life. And now, like, I get to share, like, this part of my life and what it was like, and we can kind of share it together, which I thought was really beautiful. Because it was really, really hard for her when I wanted to go into singing and performing and acting as a career. She just didn't know anything about it. And it's a natural mother's fear. Like, she didn't know how to help me. She didn't know what advice to give. So it was actually, and we only lasted one season, and it was such a special show. I still keep in touch with the actors on that show. You know, we did pilot season together, like how many years together, and they're still a support network for me. So yeah, it's been great.
That's so beautiful to hear. My parents are immigrants to the U.S. from East Africa. And so for a lot of young people like me in the U.S., it was like, you'd be a doctor, lawyer, engineer. Like, that's what they understand.
You and me,
they
girl.
Know that,
yep.
Yeah. They you know that me. That is stability. And so I am not in a creative field, but I work in advocacy. And even that, for my mom, I may as well have told her I'm a poet. She you know,
but it's like, I'm advocating for us, mom. Like, I'm like, do you get how this is actually great? Like, yeah.
And so my parents are very, very supportive. But my mom once told me she remembers the day I told her I didn't want to be a doctor. And I must have been a child because I don't fully recall it.
Ah! So, that's a trauma in her mind. Like, yes. Come on, mom.
Like, she remembers the day. It's so funny to me.
Has she come to peace with it?
Oh, fully. I think my mom often tells me I'm lucky that we chose each other as a family, if you will. You know, she said that she and my dad are just like very progressive. They never really pressured me to go into science or math. My mom just said, like, in her mind, she just remembers when I was like, I don't think I want to be a doctor. I guess I don't know what sort of career conversation I was having with her at like 7 years old or something, but no, my parents are very, very supportive. And my mom was excited about this interview today.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to hip her to the show.
And I think that's so important for young girls to hear, or young kids to hear, that it's like sometimes your dreams are different from your parents, or what drives you, what gives you passion, what makes you light up is not going to be, but like to follow your heart, and that eventually like you will meet like at the end, and there will be like, you will be, I feel like closer to my mom like now, and she sees me fully as who I am instead of this image of like what I think my mom wished I was. You know, I just, what always scared me with going into this, but that there is that, like, it is important to that's that, I think that's what every parent wants, you know, that your kid like finds a passion in life and drive and loves what they do. She must be so proud.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Must
Thank
be.
You.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you have that bond with your mom now too. I'm also curious, switching gears, when you guested on another big crossover show, Schitt's Creek, from Canada to the US, what was that experience like? I watched Schitt's Creek, as like I think 99% of Americans did. And your role especially, we try not to spoil on the show, but was such a pivotal moment for the Rose family as they were figuring out their future. How was that? How was the experience filming on that show?
Oh boy, that was auditioning for that and getting it on the very last season and one of the very final episodes, like you said, and such a pivotal one. I couldn't believe it. I was so thrilled to get the role. And then to be on set when they were in their final week of filming, and you can kind of feel that energy of things are starting to wrap up. And it was a memorable moment, getting to work with Eugene Levy, who is so, so lovely and so present. Like, just his beautiful eyes, you know? There was this, like, I keep thinking of this one moment in the boardroom, and the technology stops working, and he just looks at me like, Ruth, and his eyes, and I just kind of, I just felt like I just melted. I was like, I gotta help this man. He's just so, he's so funny, and like everyone is a fan of his work. It was great. It was amazing. And yeah, like everyone else, I binged the whole thing and was so thrilled to be on set for that. And yeah, and so proud when they like just cleaned up the Emmys.
Oh my gosh.
All of Canada
sweep.
Was having a party. I was emotional. I was getting emotional watching all of that. And now, like, we have, like, one of the producers on Schitt's Creek is a producer on Jan. And so, like Andrew has his Emmy Award. and now to have, like, Jan coming to the States is kind of like, you know, that there's really great comedy up here. We have really great, great actors and writers up here that now we kind of have, we're getting seen by more people and taken seriously is great, you know, to kind of be in that world of Canadian comedy it's an exciting time.
That's true. I didn't think about the Emmys and Jan coming and being such a hit and Letterkenny and The Weeknd playing the Super Bowl.
Oh,
there's
yes!
like this full Canadian culture takeover. I love it.
Like the Weeknd at the Super Bowl was like right after Dan Levy hosted SNL. It's amazing. It's been a really exciting time for everyone up here. Yeah, because we feel like it's like a win. When someone wins, like a Canadian wins and is, you know, like all of Canada, we're just like, yeah, like this is a win for all of us.
So you were mentioning production and the people behind the scenes. We know that you have also done production and directing. Can you tell us about sex education by theater and, you know, what you've been able to do with teaching people about sexuality and healthy relationships?
Thank you so much for asking me about Sext. It's a passion project, another passion project that I'm so proud to be a part of. Sext stands for Sex Education by Theater, and it's a platform for youth to educate other youth about sex and healthy relationships. So this is a project that was started by my best friend, Shira Taylor, who's also a PhD doctor.
Oh,
she's
nice.
She just finished her thesis. You know, her thesis
awesome.
Was this project.
Wow. Oh, that's so cool.
And it all started, she went into a community in Toronto, and this is a designated neighborhood improvement area of Toronto. It's one of the most diverse densely populated communities in Toronto. It's an immigrant destination. And she went to that high school and said, I want to start this project and have youth educate other youth about sex. Gone are the days where, like, the coach in gym class would, like, hand out a bunch of rubbers and say, you know, stay safe, kids. Like, you know, this isn't a really important topic. Not just safe sex, like what kids are going through now. Social media, cyberbullying, the world they're living in right now is completely different than the one that I grew up in. And the only way for them to learn how to navigate this is to be empowered on their own and to lead by example for others. So it's very youth-driven, youth teaching youth, and we just facilitate, really. And so this is now a performance. It's a show that features, like, skits, raps, dances, all things they created. And they've toured across Canada to talk to other high schools, particularly to, like, a lot of high schools that are in remote areas where it's so hard to get to. And so they don't get a lot of people coming to visit. Some of these schools have never seen a play before, and these kids are going and they're talking about issues that matter to them and talking to them at that level, and the kind of change and that's resulted and the engagement has been so amazing. So as creative facilitator, I kind of help bring, like, their ideas and put it and create something with them. So I wrote a song with one of the youth, her name is Mary Gadachu, about her experiences with intimate partner violence. And she sent me, I was like, girl, let's write a song together. Like, you must write. I can tell. She's like, I journal a little. Like, I was like, send it to me. She sent me, like, this beautiful, like, metaphors of what it's like and these descriptions. And I just took her words, rearranged it, and put a melody to it. And she now had a song. And now she's writing songs, and she's amazing. And her voice is insane. And we made this music video together. And this is now a song that she sings in the show. And after the show, like, you'll have, like, youth coming up to teachers that recognize that and go, I'm in that. I think I need help. Just one kid doing that, there's been more than one that has done that recognized someone else. It's someone that looks like them, you know. going through it and getting help. That so Tunnel Vision, you know, if you want to watch that, that's on YouTube. Their Sexed Ed show on YouTube, Tunnel Vision. And the other music video we did that I directed was Bodak Consent, which is a song about consent. Like, one of the kids rewrote all the lyrics to Cardi B's Bodak Yellow, and they made it about consent. And it's so funny. And I helped her find her like inner rap goddess, and she just like she owned it. She was like a different person. You know, she said, I always feel like I don't really like, you know, it feels awkward sometimes. Like, I don't know what my rap artist is. And we just took the time to find it. And she just owned that day. And it was so great to see her unleash her inner goddess like that. So yeah, they're still keeping involved and they're still making videos. They have a new partnership now with the local health center, the Flemington Health Center, to make more videos educating others about COVID myths, vaccine myths, particularly in that community, because it's been devastating, the COVID in their community. And one of our youth actually had COVID. And so he's kind of now a voice of being like, you know, young people can still get it and it's not fun. Like, he's still struggling with it months later, having gotten it. And they do it in their own way. Like, you know, they make videos and use it in their language, like songs and raps. They just have an amazing sense of humor. And it's always fun to see all the videos they turn out. So that's Sex Education by Theater, Sexed Ed Show on social media.
That's amazing. I wish I had a program like that in middle school, high school. I definitely just had a guidance counselor show us a video, and that's about
horrible.
It.
It's horrible. It's terrible. And you know what's crazy is that when she went to that school, she was like, they were like, you know what? No one's going to want to participate. You're not going to get anyone that wants to talk about sex. And she went and talked to a few classes, and every kid was like, what? Like, I want to do that. She said she ran out of paper. Like, she was taking out receipts from her wallet so people could write on the back of the receipt their emails and stuff. And then the first meeting, she's like, I only had room for this many kids, but I can't say no. Cause so many kids came, and like the discussions they had were just like, wow, they have so much to say. It's literally giving them a platform. A lot of times you don't think like, oh, kids won't have anything to say about this. Oh my God. Opposite. They have so much to say. We just need to listen.
And one thing I noticed while you were talking about this, you really lit up when you were in this mentor facilitator role. Do you see yourself continuing to be a mentor or teach acting, songwriting, or those types of creative fields?
I love mentors. I do. I really do light up, don't I? I do love mentoring. I don't know if it's like, yeah, I wish like I had something like that growing up. I find it like incredible. Cause like, I don't know. I can when I meet them and I can see, I'm like, oh my God, I see a songwriter in there. I see like this badass like woman in there. I see like, and getting to mentor them has just been so gratifying, especially when they kind of unleash that. It's just so, it's satisfying. I'll always be involved with sex. They're always going to be my babies. Like, you know, Shira's like, she's basically my wife. I call her my wifey. Like, she got a ring when I got married. We did a ring exchange because she was like, I spent Valentine's Day with her still. Like, she's like, they're like our children, really. And like, this program is like, I hope going to go on like, you know, way, as like youth teach other youth, teach other youth. And I'm always going to be involved with that for sure. It's an honor, you know, to get to mentor talented kids like that. Every kid has a talent. It's an honor to mentor. I love it. Yeah.
We'll definitely check out those music videos. So you have Sexed that's going to keep going on. We know you're filming season 3 of Jan. Can you tell us what's next for Elena? What's next for Kale? I know you're dancing around some of those details.
Any hints you can give us or larger storylines?
I can tell you, when I read the scripts for season 3, I did a lot of like fast clapping.
Ooh, okay.
I was like, ooh! And like I laughing out loud and lots of clapping. That's what I will tell you about season 3.
It's a good sign.
It's a good sign. This is going to be so, and one thing I can give away is that Michael Bublé is going to be guest starring.
another Canadian icon.
Icon, people. Icon. And like a treasure. The man is a treasure. He's so beautiful and kind. And like, I'm now, we've had a lot of famous people come on. Like, I met Sarah McLachlan. That was a whole other like freak out fest. But like, I'm now like pretty cool when I meet celebrities on set. I'm like, oh, Elena, I play Kale. Nice to meet you. Like, can I get, like, are you, like, do you need anything? I'm very cool. But then like, once the day is over and I get in the transport van to head back to the hotel, I let out this like high-pitched squeal. Like, and just was like, my adrenaline was like pumping. Like for Michael Bublé, like being, and his episode is so funny. So excited for people to see it. So that is one spoiler that I can, that I'm allowed to give away.
Ooh, an exclusive.
That's my exclusive. That's my exclusive. So yeah, I mean, we're still filming this. I'm going to be here until till the end of the month, coming home later. So that's been my primary focus. And yeah.
Cool. Are there any other projects you want to highlight for our listener, or have them focus on Jan for now?
Yeah, watch Jan. We're streaming on Hulu in America, Crave in Canada. Check out Sex Education by Theater. They'll be releasing new videos, Sexed Ed Show. I do have other projects that with no official release dates yet, but you can always follow me on social media. And I'm Elena Watko on social media. And Watko is spelled, W is spelled with a J-U. I didn't know if you know that. W is spelled J-U. That's how it's spelled correctly. That's the correct spelling of the W sound is J-U.
We always ask this question of the creatives like you who join us for interviews. What advice do you have for our listeners who want to get into this creative industry?
It's there's so many different pieces of advice, but the thing that has helped me the most is to never think that you know everything. Always be learning something. Before I booked Jan, I didn't work for a year. And it was a hard year. Like, I was auditioning and I just couldn't get through. And it's easy to just kind of blame the world and blame, you know, the casting directors and blame all this other stuff and just kind of, because you're, while you're waiting for it to hit. But I knew that there was more that I could learn. And so I found an incredible acting studio that changed my life. And I learned from actors that are better than, always, I love surrounding myself with people that are smarter and better than me. Like the actors of that studio, I would just watch and learn from and challenge myself, get called on my shiz. And it was because of that hard work that I did that I think I booked Kale. So it's always pushing yourself to learn. There's so much to learn like out there. And don't get caught up in your ego when you think you're good and you've got everything. You just need to wait for things to happen. It's no waiting. Go create something. Go learn. Take a class. Push yourself. Yeah. Don't give up.
That's beautiful. Channeling your inner Kale. Always willing to grow. Always willing to learn.
Yeah. Kale, I know, Kale's taught me so much. It's great to like learn this character, to have this character. There's sometimes where I've like tried to speak up for myself and I don't, or I start to cry. I don't know if that's ever happened. Like, and times where I should be angry about this. This is an injustice. This is wrong. And I try and speak and my voice shakes and then I get, and I learned that that's your body saying, no, we don't do this. We're the nice girl that's easy to work with, that people like, that mom prizes as her sweet daughter. We're sweet and we're likable. We don't do this. And so your body will shut yourself down. So if anything, Kale has taught me that what's even more beautiful and what people want to see even more are strong women that speak their opinion and don't censor themselves. So she's taught me a lot about that and being, and finding more power in myself and in my voice. I don't cry anymore.
That is such a word. I love that. You don't have to battle that inner self of yours, especially if you are socialized as a woman who is taught to be quieter, that like, it's okay for you to voice your opinion and it's okay for you to push through that discomfort and it's worth it for you to voice your opinion. I am really grateful for that, for you sharing that today.
Oh, thank you. And it takes practice. It takes practice. And like, and that's what I love about the art of acting and why acting and drama works with sex is that it, acting teaches you empathy and it gives you practice to be the braver version of yourself. So like what these kids do, they practice, they put themselves in scenarios and they act out like what they would do and they practice it. So what I did in acting class, my acting coach would throw these roles at me where these women expressed their opinion and I would practice doing it. And then I would feel the wanting to shut down. And my coach would be like, what are you doing? Keep going. Don't censor yourself. Keep going, keep talking. And then that's how I found it. Like that's what is so beautiful about this art form called acting. I love it.
Awesome. What a great way to wrap things up. We do want to thank you again, Elena. This has been an awesome interview. We've learned a lot about Kale, about you, your projects, that you didn't become a doctor, but you know, you found
you
your
did.
Passion. Yeah,
you
I did.
You did, so passion. I didn't have to.
Exactly. I like that.
There
you
go.
I took over for you so you didn't have to go do anything with fruit flies again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
No problem.
Never again.
But really, thank you again for joining us today. This has been great.
Oh, it's been so lovely talking to the two of you. Thank you so much.